morning before we start. Some of you may have noticed when you sat down, there was a booklet in your pew. Those are for you to take. This is a World Watch List booklet. And what that means is simply that it's an annual report on the global persecution of Christians. Every country listed in this booklet is your brother and your sister in the Lord. We need to be concerned. We need to pray for. So these are for you to take. If you are not sitting where there's one available for you and you'd like one, let us know. We'll make sure we get you one. Tom has some up here, I think. So if you want one of those, you don't happen to get one, make sure you grab one of those. And I'm confident that no matter what your week was last week, you read that and your week's going to look pretty good. We still live in America and we're still free to worship God. And I am so grateful for that today as we begin our time together. You know, when we look at this, we have always been told, I've always been told that, you know, when you, your words really mean a lot. And they're very powerful. James talks about the concept of our tongue and how sharp it is and how, you know, once words are given out, you can never take them back, even though you may want to. And so words are very powerful. And we understand that. Sometimes the words are more powerful, or the words are more effective by the one who speaks them. And I say that in a positive and also a negative way. Because you know, your best bud, your friend, you're doing things all and everything's going great, and all of a sudden that same person really hammers you and you don't expect it. And so those words that were said by that person, because he was a friend, affected you more than someone you may not have known. On a positive note, we got the Word of God. And there is no better word than the words of God. John 1 says that that Word became flesh, and that Word took on the flesh so that he may be our Savior. And one of the greatest things, we studied through that a while back, and one of the greatest things that we saw that I took out away from that is when Christ told the two apostles, said, you know, they ask him, where are you laying your head at night? Basically, where are you staying? Christ turns to them and says, come and see. The profoundness of God speaking those words, come and see. Man, I'm still learning that. I'm living my life. I've been saved all my life, ran away a little bit, but came back. Been saved all my life, and I'm still learning what it means to come and see God. Come and see him. We know we see him by the word in which he speaks. And that word is very, very important. So we're gonna see that there is some tremendous power as we finish, or as we go through this first letter to the church at Thessalonica. And we've studied them. We've seen it's a small church, a young church, just beginning the stages of their ministry. And so Paul is writing to them at a very important time. He's writing to them 20 years prior to Jerusalem falling. So it's going in a trend. It's going in a track where things are not conducive for those who love Christ. Are you there yet? Man, our world seems to be running, spiraling in the wrong direction again. Many said when 9/11 hit that we stopped and we paused and we had a moment and an opportunity to turn it around. That lasted about a month and a half, 2 months maybe. And we all went right back to what we were doing. You see, the thing about God's word is it is so effective in our lives. We're going to see that today as Paul encourages and instructs them. But I want to give you a quote. It's a lengthy quote. So if you're going to try to write it down, just write down Daniel Webster and look it up. It says, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering. But if we or our posterity neglects it, it is instructions and authority. No man can tell how sudden a catastrophic may overwhelm us and bury all of our glory in profound obscurity. Man, are we there? I mean, what a quote. Seeing that when I was doing some of my reading this week, and I'm like, that's coming from somebody who sees it with a set of eyes that has the right kind of words to put it together. Webster, right? He's got all the words he needs. But when you look at this concept, you look at where we're at and where we've gone, I'm convinced there's something that I'm going to bring out right off the get-go, and we're going to see it through the threaded through. The reason why I think we struggle so much in the life in which we live is because we stopped truly believing God. I have stopped, you have stopped believing God. How can I say that? That's unfair to say for everybody, right? Well, if God is good, isn't he always good? How does that fit into your reality? How does that fit into the days that you have? If you truly believe God is good, then you know what? You're going to have a different perspective of what you go through, aren't you? If you really believe that God is holding you and carrying you and lifting you and taking you through things in this life simply so that he can perfect us into the image of his Son, if you truly believe that, then you'll never ask and never pray for God to take you out of a situation. God, guide me through it. God, teach me through it. You see, we have this mindset that we believe God is good until something in our reality. And Kim and I were talking about this. I'm going to write a paper on this somehow, some way. Where it goes, I don't know. I got to get it out of my head because it keeps bouncing. A lot of things keep bouncing, but this is a good one. When reality collides with theology. We spoke it really quick last week, and that statement has bothered me all week. Because honestly, that's where we are. Every day of our life, our reality is colliding with our theology. And you know what happens when I believe God is good, and then my reality collides with my theology, and my reality wins, my God is no longer good, and I leave and want nothing to do with it. And so when reality collides, we need to make sure that the power in the words of God win. And that's exactly the message that Paul was trying to tell those in this church, as he's telling us today as we study through this. There is power in the words. Why is there so much power in the words? Because the words are God. He took on flesh. And these aren't just words on a page. These just aren't some words that we could just read about a good story. It's our God revealing himself to you and I the best way he knows how. Because you know what? I'm convinced if God really wanted his redemptive story to be told to the lost, he would do it in a whole better way than use me. Because I mess it up. But God said, you know, I chose you. I want to use you. Us. All of us. And so with that in mind, in the Bible, what we see is Paul states in verse 13 some profound words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That, you can preach a whole year on that verse. There is so much in that verse. I almost figured I'd be here for a Sunday night service combined, the whole thing. Because everything in that verse is phenomenal in our life. First of all, I'm going to list some things. First of all, we find they thank God without ceasing. Paul continued to thank God. Why did Paul thank God? Well, Paul thanked him because they received the word of God. Paul was thanking them for taking the word of God and receiving it, doing something with it. It's amazing, you know. I saw this morning, and it's one of those things that it's only funny after the fact. You've been there, you know? You've been involved in one of those situations where it only gets funny after you're done with it. Well, a lady had a card, birthday card, strapped to a helium balloon, and she opened the card, and her mama sent her $120, and then the balloon flew away. And she's jumping for the string and just missing it. I thought, boy, there's a sermon in there. There's a sermon in there. But you know, when we think of receiving something, you got to act. You know, I really, really wish that God would have allowed when I was going to school for me to lay on my book and it transfer over. But it never happened. If you're going to receive something, you've got to act upon that something. And so Paul said, I'm thanking God every day without ceasing that you received it, that you did something with it. And what was that? Basically, not as men's words, but as the truth, the word of God. There is a huge difference in that statement. You did not accept what we said because we said it. You accepted it because it was truth. God said it. There is a world of difference between what man says and what God says. Now, we do our best to say the same thing. I do my best to say the same thing. But listen, there are times that, again, my mind bounces. So there are times that one of those bouncers get out of there and it wasn't supposed to get out of there. But we do our best. And my heart, continual desire is to never take something from the Word of God and preach it wrong, to talk about it wrong, to elevate it in a position that it's not supposed to be. And so Paul was very grateful that you didn't take it because I said it. And you got to remember, Paul was pretty well known, okay? Paul was like, wow, he's coming to our town. Paul said, you didn't listen because I said it. You listened because it was the truth. Sometimes the truth's hard to hear, isn't it? Sometimes the truth's tough. But Paul thanked them because they took it as a truth. Next thing we find, basically, which effectually worked in all that believed. And I'm gonna pause on this one a little bit. Because effectually working, basically, God's word is working something in you. Now, when you read that, do you think that that verse is referring to all that believe salvation? Do this for me. Make me feel good. Yes. Okay, it is. But it's also referring to them that believe the word. Believe what the words say. Believe what God says he is and what God will do. It's amazing when we come to a verse like this and all of a sudden it's like, well, yeah, I believe I'm saved. But yet, I believe God is good until things aren't going well. If you truly believe, do you realize Paul is saying in this verse, that word will work some amazing things in your life if you believe the word. In essence, you're believing God, but yet we are people who believe in God. But when it comes down to those simple words, sometimes we struggle with those because our reality is colliding with our theology. And so if our reality wins, we lose the best thing we have to get us and walk us through the struggles of life. And so Paul is saying, again, remember, this church is on the verge. This church is not light because they're Christian. This church doesn't fit into the norm of religion. I don't like religion. Don't like the word religion because it has changed so much in our culture. If you want to be religious, you can do that anywhere out there. You can religiously go to hell because you don't believe in Christ. You see, it's not about the religion. It's about the relationship. And what he's saying here, Paul is saying is, listen, if you truly believe, how many of you married folk out there, if you never believe what your spouse is saying, how long would you be married? Okay, we're going to move real quick off that. All right? Real quick off that. I don't have time for counseling next week. We're going to move real quick off that. But in any other relationship, it makes sense, right? If we don't believe what they say, we're not going to stick there. Boy, God's faithfulness says, I'll stay here. When you don't believe me, I'll still stay here. Paul is saying that same thing to this church in that one verse. And how important is we pull that verse out and look at that verse. But in the process of that, God uses men to speak his word. Okay, now I'm just going to go through a few of these really quickly and give you some verses you can look up if you need to or would like to. First of all, we find Jeremiah 29:20, verse 9. Word of God was burning in his bones. He had to speak. Jeremiah said, the truth of who God is and what God is doing in my life, I'm going to tell you. I can't hold it in. All right, y'all holding in, okay? You are holding in right now. Because of who he is, because of what he's done, Jeremiah says, there's no way. My bones are burning. And that's pretty awesome, man. I love that verse. Go to another one, 1 Kings 19. Elijah declares God speaking in a still, small voice. Proverbs says that also. In a still, small voice, Elijah said, God spoke to him. Spoke to him in the cave. He spoke to him in many other places as he was running for his life. And so it's this opportunity where God meets you. And I'm going to say this, try to say this very carefully, because I'm not trying to go outside of scriptures. But in our conscious mind, there are times that God is like right there. I mean, you've been there, you've seen it, you've known he's done some divine things. And I'm going to give you a real quick example that happened this week to me. It was really awesome. I had come home from the hospital, and Kim says, you know, she said, I prayed for you today. I said, boy, I'll tell you what, I could tell. Now she said, no, well, I pray for you every day. And I know that too, but today was really amazing. Because there was a patient I went into and was really distraught, and I said, can I pray with you? And I held her hand, I'm not supposed to do that in the hospital, but anyway, and prayed with her, and at the end of my prayer, she would not let me go. I'm like, she wouldn't let me go. You know what she said? It's gone. My burdens are gone. That wasn't me. That was not me. I was trying to get away. I was getting nervous. But you want to know what? Man, coming home and hearing Kim pray for me in the same area, the same hour that was going on. Listen, God speaks in a still small voice, and he uses men to do it. He uses us. That's exactly what Paul was trying to encourage his church. Listen, yeah, you're going through a hard time. Yeah, your country, your culture, your creeds, they're messing up with you. They don't want you, but I'm going to speak quietly through you. And you're going to see some great things. I'll tell you, I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to my grave smiling for my Lord. Sooner, later, hopefully later, but I'm going there because I want God to speak through me just as he did Elijah. The next thing we see, Daniel 2:19, God spoke to him in visions and dreams. We don't have that today. I do not believe in that today. But in the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God was not in them, God used that to speak to the prophets. And then Daniel went and used what God gave him in a subconscious thought process. God used that in a way where Daniel was able to go and basically interpret those dreams. And we've read about them and we've seen them in many ways. For you and I, 2 Peter 1:21 states, men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that they were moved by the Holy Spirit, that's what we hold, the Word of God. Now, it has been translated and it has been passed down. If you want a really, 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 really good version, learn Greek and Hebrew and go to the original. Because anything else from there as man's best at trying to put it together. Okay? So, we have. And when Peter basically states that those men were moved, God used through those men to pen the Word of God. And that's what we hold. We hold what we penned. So, how important is it that we realize God is going to speak to every one of us? God is going to speak through you. He's going to speak through me to the people around us. And when he does, oh, man, when he does, just step back and say, wow, I cannot believe God chose me at that moment to do that. Because, listen, it's none of you, nothing about you. God will continue to use each and every one of us. And again, key point is when God's word is spoken correctly, it still holds this power. It still holds the power that it did when Paul spoke it, when Elijah spoke it, when Daniel, when any of the prophets spoke it, when the word of the Lord came to those men and they prophesied, the things that we study, the things that we know today because God spoke to them and through them, it still holds the same power today. Isn't that amazing? Man, I'm so excited. Because when, again, key word, spoken correctly. We've got many individuals out there today who are taking the Word of God and using it for their own agendas, their own advantage. We see it on TV, we see it advertised, we see it said everywhere. So spoken correctly is very important. Still holds the power of God. Man, that speaks volumes to me. Listen, I want to tell you, that's what gets me up Sunday morning and gets me going, so that I can have the opportunity to stand in front of all you and speak the truth the best of my ability. That's what makes it different, doesn't it? That's what makes a difference in all of our lives. So when we're seeing it, that was just a warm-up. You ready? All right, we're getting into it now. God's word is powerful. We understand that. It is truthfully accurate. Look at, and again, in verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing. We receive the word of God. And again, the very end of it, that it worked or worketh also in you that believe. First thing we understand about this is God's actions always agree with his words. Always. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree or not, God's actions will never contradict his word. That's the kind of friend I want. How about it? Hard to find him on this side of heaven. But this is amazing. It's powerful because it's true, truly accurate. They've been trying to disprove the scriptures for a long, 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 long time. Every time they dig something up, they try to disprove scriptures. It only proves it true. And so that's God revealing a little bit more, saying, okay, you're still not listening. You're still not believing. So God allows that to happen. The second thing we see in that is that every event spoken by God has or will occur. Since Genesis 1, how accurate can you be with that? I mean, you just go look at any other religion. Go look at any other doctrine. Go look at anybody else's Bible that they claim to be true. And there will not be that phrase. We are the only ones that have serve a God that has that statement. Listen, it's accurate. It's powerful because it will always be right. Isn't that great? So if God tells me this is what I should be doing, it's not a suggestion. He's not saying, if you want to. No, God's saying, here's what you need to do. And he's right. Here's what you shouldn't do. And he's right. I'm going to take you through this valley. And he's right in doing so. I'm going to allow you to come out of that valley. And he's right in doing so. I'm going to bring you home. And he's right in doing so. Everything he does right. And amazing. Just amazing when you just ponder that truth. Next thing we realize, God's word is powerful because it produces change. Verse 13 says the working effectually again produces a change in our life. To believe it and to act upon it will bring radical and permanent change. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. You and I cannot change the heart of men. We cannot just somehow get it into their minds and think, did you just a simple maybe yes, amen, something. Did you talk to anybody last week when you walked away and said, how in the world did they come up with that? Do y'all talk to anybody through the week? Because, listen, some of the reasoning, some of the mindset, some of the ways that they're putting things together, it's like, how do you get that? How do you even begin to come to this? But you know what? The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, says that it is the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the soul asunder. It is a radical, permanent change. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because the Word of God spoken correctly, the Word of God spoken truthfully, the Word of God received by you and I means that I'm going to radically change. If I don't radically change, then what did I read? Then who is my God? And so, listen, I don't know what that change looks like for all of us. I'm barely understanding my own. But according to God, it'll bring a radical change. And you know, permanent change. I love the concept of permanent. Because when we accept what God gives and we receive it and we put it in our heart and life, we don't try to overthink it. We don't try to reason it. We don't try to understand it. We don't try to manipulate it because we don't like what's going on. When we just simply let God be God, it'll radically change you permanently. It'll make a difference so much in your life that you'll be able to look back. And you know what? That's when you look around and say, how do they come to this? Don't they know there's a God? Don't they understand that God loves all? Don't they understand that this peace that they're all driving for is not really going to come until after we're gone? So we need to understand it produces, it's powerful, and it'll produce the change. But it has to be, and again, when I say radical, it's radical to the world. It's not radical to Christianity, okay? Radical to the world. Because they don't understand how you and I can go through the valleys of life and still have a smile. They don't understand how you and I are able to handle what the world throws at us and some of the physical and the mental and all the financial, whatever it is. How are you still joyful? Because Christ. I don't get that. Well, let me tell you how. It's always, everything can be opened up into a situation to share Christ. And it's amazing when you're able to do that. Next thing we understand, because God knows the heart, His word tunes it to Him. God knows our heart, His words tune our heart to Him. 2 Timothy 3:16. It is good for doctrine, reproof, correction, everything in our life. Everything about the Word of God. Again, Paul's talking to this young church. Paul's talking to these individuals who simply are going to be running scattered shortly. And then when the Jerusalem falls, they have all kind of issues they're going to face. Issues that we haven't even begun to face yet. And so he's telling them, God knows your heart. It's all about your heart. And the words of God that he has given us will tune our heart to him. And that's the most important thing. I really tried raising all of my children the best I could. Kids are great until they're old enough to make their own choices. Oh, I said that out loud, didn't I? Sorry. When we look at what, that was one of those bouncers that got out, okay? Shouldn't have got out of there. But when we look at the heart of God, I've always tried to tell them, listen, when you're in a tough spot and you have to make a tough decision, tune your heart to God and follow your heart. You will never make the bad choice if you tune your heart to God and follow your heart. Why? Because God, that's where he's at. And he wants the word of God to go in there and help that process. It's powerful because that's where God set it up. That's what God is looking for. And that's what God wants in our lives. And to me, it is so encouraging when we read this and understand this in the way that Paul put it to this young church. Again, God's word is powerful. Third thing we pull out of this is it stirs opposition. Right? If you are so well liked in a sinful world, I'd be nervous. Because Christ brings opposition. Look at verse 14 and 15. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. That's the world that they were living in. That's the religion that they were living in. Contrary. You see, we realize that it stirs opposition. Because when we first look at that, God's word downplays human achievement. God's word never says it's about you and I. God's word never says, I'm going to sit here on the throne. You go, you got it. No, God says, if you go without me, you're done. You will not make it. Anything that we try to accomplish without Christ is not going to work. And so the word of God stirs opposition because it downplays human achievement. Listen, that doesn't mean God does not want you to exceed. He wants you to exceed. He wants you to do things, but he also wants you to give the glory where the glory goes. He also wants you to be able to do it and give him the praise. Because, you know, and a real quick illustration, if I am taking all the glory for things that I do, and maybe on that one day I was on target, man. Well, not too many times, but I try to be on target. I'm on target, and I did it really well that day. And the next day, and everybody's saying, wow, he's doing great. He's making it happen. It's all work. And the next day, I fall apart. So do they. You see, it's God gets the glory because he's the one who makes it happen. God is the one who takes the words that men speak and put it in the heart of the people who are listening. No man can ever do that. So it really downplays the human achievement. Second thing that is reason it stirs opposition is because God's word exposes human pride. Proverbs 6:16 lists seven things that God hates. And guess what number one is? Pride. You realize that pride, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, the first sin against God happened in heaven because of pride. Before Adam and Eve fell, before the world even, we weren't even around. God didn't even create anything yet. I believe when Scripture says, in the beginning was God, and he created the heavens and the earth, the angels were created at that moment. He created the heavens, he created the beings in heaven at that moment, then he created the earth, and then it says he created man in our image. I think that was already a done deal. Satan fell. All that happened prior to man being created. So we can't blame Adam and Eve on this one. Pride came from Lucifer, who was kicked out of heaven because he thought he could be as God or better. What did he tell Eve? You will be just like God. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. And he's still trying to convince you and I that we can be just like God. Because why? Because we can take over the situations of our life. Because we can run it better than God does. I don't agree with God. Therefore, I'm going to try to control this to make it so I don't hurt. Doesn't work, does it? Satan has tried to use that tactic because that's who he is, the father of all lies. That's what he does. That's what he did. And therefore, he's trying to get everybody else to do the same thing. You see, when we come into this and realize that word exposes human pride, pride is the foundation of sin, period. Everything we do wrong, we do it because of pridefulness. We do it because we think we can, we think we have the right, we think we have the power and ability. And God along saying, what are you doing? Same thing we do to some of the people. How did you get there? I can't imagine God in heaven saying, what are you thinking? You think I don't have your back. You think I'm not going to carry you through this. You think you're going to be struggling. As much as you're struggling, if you just give it to me. See, I think God looks at us as we look at others and simply say the same thing. The power of the Word of God exposes. And we don't like that. But yet it's truthfulness. And God is simply saying, listen, this is what you need. This is who you are. Verse 14 and 15 pull that out very clearly. And the same culture they lived in is the same culture we're beginning to live in. Just different people. Different ways of doing things, but the sinfulness of God to God is still prevalent in our world, and it seems to be getting more and more out front in the lives that we see. You see, when you go through this verse, and I just want to mention verse 16, and then we'll put a lot of time into it, but forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is yet to come upon them to the utter. I'm going to tell you what, if I was a Jew and I lived in Thessalonica and that statement, that word, that sentence got out of that church, I would be afraid. I would be scared to death. Because Paul said, first of all, these Jews, these religious people would not let us take the truth to the Gentiles. That's a true statement, isn't it? They know you, the Gentiles, they're no good. They're wrong people. They're not God's people. We are God's people. The pridefulness of the Jews almost, and they tried to stop the redemptive story from going to the Gentiles. Listen, that's you and I. They would have succeeded. We would all be on our way to hell. Isn't that amazing? But they didn't succeed. But they tried. Because of that, because in verse 16 it says they didn't want it to go to the Gentiles, they filled their own sins. It was all about them. They continued to, it's us. We are the ancestors of. We are the generations that came from. And it was all about them. They were so proudful they'd missed the Savior. They were so proudful they didn't see what was right in front of them. I'll tell you, it was a sad day. And their outcome, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. There is going to be a day when God makes everything right. And those from earth being created till the great white throne judgment, all of that, those who have opposed and rejected and persecuted God's kids are in trouble. They're in trouble to the uttermost. That verse would scare me if I was a Jew in Thessalonica, because that's what they were doing to that church. That's what was going to happen even more. As we look at our way we can put this together this morning in our closing of studying those three verses, it's amazing how you can pull so much out of just a verse or two. But man, when you really look at the gold nuggets and the profound understanding, first thing we need to see is, has the Word of God permanently changed you? That's a question that only you can answer with God. And you know, sometimes I've said it to many of you, sometimes I'll say, you know, well, how are you doing? Depends on what day of the week it is. And sad to say, sometimes in my spiritual life, depends on what day of the week it is. Man, we shouldn't be like that, should we? I'm like that. I'm like that at times. You're like that at times. We shouldn't be able to take that and say, yeah, it depends on what day of the week it is. Depends on how spiritual I am or how permanently I'm changed. And I'm telling you what, it is a struggle. You are a fish swimming upstream. You are a fish swimming against all the other fishes when it comes to this, in the world in which we live today. But man, swim. Will you just swim? And every now and then, you know, you see those National Geographic pictures of that bear standing right there, and that fish jumps up. Every now and then you get bit. But you know what? The total outcome is you're still going to be in heaven forever. Swim. Just swim closer to your God in a permanent way. Second thing, another question. What are you struggling with that the Word of God can't fix? Sorry about that. Cannot fix. What are you struggling with that the Word of God cannot or can't fix? Because we're struggling. I'm not the only one in here this morning that says, I'm struggling. We are all struggling. If we want to be known, or truth be told, what struggle are you with right now that the Word of God can fix? In your mind, can it fix it? Can it not fix? Can it fix it? I think it can. It's powerful. Remember, powerful Word of God. Third thing, we are overcomers of this world and all it offers. God said so. Believe that? Do you really, truly believe that? Man, we ought to be excited the fact that God said so, because remember, when God says it, it is powerful. When God said it, it is truth. When God said it, it is accurate. When God said it, it is something that will never change. I'm excited about that. That means no matter what God allows in my life, I can overcome it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will not give you any more than you can handle with him. I agree, he stretches that line, doesn't he? But see, it's with him that makes the difference. If you leave God back here and he's stretching your line out here, you're going on the edge of that cliff all by yourself. You got to go with him. Life is much easier when you go with him. Period. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are this morning. We thank you for your love. And God, I pray as we continue just to ponder these truths, God, how powerful, if we could just wrap our minds around this today. God, we can accomplish everything and anything. Money would never be an issue. The world would never be an issue. The fears of what if will never be an issue. God, I am so grateful that the eyes can be open, the heart can be sensitive. God, I pray that your word really does penetrate today in my life and everyone who hears it today. God, we praise you for all that you do in us and through us. And God, we know that if not you doing it, we would do our best and we would stumble through and mess it up. But God, you've chosen to use us. Father, if there's someone here this morning that has not permanently allowed your word to change their life, maybe it starts, it's their salvation. Maybe they've truly never surrendered their life to you. And God, I pray if anyone in here is like that or anyone listening is like that today, that they just come in the quietness of this moment and truly believe that you sent your son for them today. God, that's all it takes. God, because you know the heart. Father, if those here have heard and are one of your children, Lord, will you stir us? Will you encourage us, strengthen us, move us forward? God, allow us to take every opportunity you give and exemplify you as we share your redemptive story. God, we thank you and praise you for who you are today. In your son's name, amen.